think that's why all of us are here. And even on the boards, such as the task force board, I think there's an inequity on that, because there's probably only four natives, as far as I know, on that board. There should be more. Where the natives are involved, there should be more people on these boards, more natives on these boards. This is your program, this is your language, this is your culture. And you, Babal, do know your way of life and express it best, especially in your own language, such as mine. I can go and speak, say something in my language, but when I translate it into English, it doesn't faze anybody. And it's true in all languages. So we must control our own destiny, and that I think we, these conferences are right in the right direction, which are very good. There are many good topics and opinions expressed, but I think as a whole body we should be together instead of having too many separate workshops. Sure, there are people have interests in other areas. Some are here to learn the techniques, some here are to learn the laws. But I think we should all share in this workshop as a whole body.
But start thinking about what a huge spectrum bilingual program is. When you start to think about the speakers, you are defining what you're supposed to be writing down for materials that are going to be developed by materials developers, specialists that are teachers, those who are going to be certificated, and those who aren't. It's such a huge area that just about anybody could be involved, whether you're a college student or not. Some people think maybe that the teacher should know everything, but the teacher is learning right along with the students, because we are such a new area, we have such a new area to learn about and cover, that when we're teachers, we're going to have to learn right along with the students what is good and what is bad. So for this reason, everything that is being written aren't necessarily bad, but we could kind of use what is good and throw out the ones that aren't good, we think that aren't so good. In this area, I think we need a lot of defining, I think, is what I'm looking for. How could we define what we're going to strive for? Are we going to be native writers, as ANLC has? Are we going to be linguists, as we had we had a training session last summer? There were 22 of us, and the age level was from 22 years up to 70, which is really a fantastic span. And some of us really liked the linguistic training, and some of us couldn't hack it too well. It was really something to tackle. The exposure was really good for all of us. And another area we have to think about is PR. Who does PR for you? And how do you do it? What is PR? Where are you going to get the money? This is PR to me right now. Where are we going to get the money? And who's going to tell the people about what we're doing? What is bilingual program, bicultural? Is it one? Is it two, or how many segments are under bicultural? Is it bicultural or tricultural or whatever? But we have to learn this by working together, as Lindor and Kelleen said, and the others that spoke before me. We can only achieve a valuable or valuable material by working together. Yesterday, we witnessed a very good example of what self-determination is, or I did. It was the other day when Bob Arnold brought in the land claims book. The cover is made up of all the different Alaska Native languages. But inside it is the materials that were contributed by some of our educated natives, which really made me feel very good. And these people were determined and achieving. I guess that's about all I can say for now, unless we could think of other.
Shirked the responsibilities at one time. I was ready to retire and quit. I saw something very beautiful, fishing grounds, this land.
responsibility. I'm one of the two that's, who can speak and gather up these areas in our own area. And it did a world of good to see you at the first conference. I think I could have shed tear because I felt so happy, seeing that so many were concerned. You know, being isolated, it doesn't help too much once in a while. You go on and on and on and on. But here again, we go right back to the determination part. I was quite determined right at the very beginning that I would not say too much. So I'll just carry it on and move back to your anger.
Thank you, Arnel. Yes, Rosita?
Yeah. Dr. Krause said that we can't depend solely on educational institutions to perpetuate the languages. Yet it seems that all energies and certainly all dollars, and most everyone here, are associated with educational institutions. If our languages can't be maintained or perpetuated through the educational institutions alone, number one, why are we spending all of our energies in educational institutions? And I'd like to know if the panel agrees with Mike, and if so, maybe they could talk about other ways of perpetuating the languages.
Rosita, apparently you don't agree, and I will pass it on to the rest of the panel members. But while I am passing it, maybe you can think about a question that came to my mind immediately. Was I know that my children want to speak, learn to speak English, Tlingit, and the only way they can do it is through the school system and through encouraging her grandmother and myself to constantly speak to her in Tlingit. That's one way where both the institution of higher learning or high school or the school system, plus the parents' involvement or community involvement, is just my immediate reaction. But I certainly would like to entertain also any thoughts from the floor. And if Rosita has thought out of some of the possible answers, I would appreciate that too.
Say that the schools are just the beginning for learning the languages or teaching the languages being, I don't really want to use the word teach, but at least to the new orthography and others, that it's only a beginning point, just like any institution or any school that you go to college, it's just your beginning point of your life. But you actually, when you go out in the world, and if you're a doctor or a linguist or whatever, this is when your work really begins. This is really what I thought Mike was talking about. And out in the homes, this is where it really is. I might be wrong, Mike. I don't
think there is any disagreement on this point at all, but the school alone cannot save the language. But the question is, what have we thought to do beyond the school? Not just once we're done with the school either, but what could we do today outside the school? What could we do today in the homes, in the communities, to get the community as a whole behind our concerns to keep the language going?
Well,
We have a quick show of hands here. How many of you are from communities where the children do speak the language and the main purpose of bilingual education is to provide teachers that they understand in native? How many of you have come from places like that? Please raise your hand. It's a fairly small minority of places. How many of you come from places where the children do not speak the native language well enough, and your main concern with bilingual education is not just to break the language barrier, but how to help perpetuate the native language through your efforts in the schools? Those people, please raise your hand. It's a much larger, or somewhat larger number, at least of people who are here, who have that particular problem. So the question is, I know we're all concerned with the perpetuation of the native language, but the question that Rosita is raising, that I think I also raised, is basically, and same thing you say, you know, to what can we do beyond the school or through the school to get the whole community, not just the teachers or something, behind the language program?
I want to say that the point more further is that if we all have a group of classes to start studying about our language or our culture, yes, school it can be a good place for some of us, especially for the communities who don't speak their native language. I think school is something we can go to, but that's not only the place to learn about the culture and the language. Children learn first from their immediate surroundings. This is where they begin to learn. Like, I have a little boy, he's about a year and a half old, and he speaks both English and Yupik. I talk to him, I'm not teaching him, I'm just talking to him as if he understands me, and he picks a language that I speak to him, and my husband, who speaks English only, he speaks English to him, and he's speaking both languages. So that shows you that school is not the only place where your child can learn the Alaskan culture and language. So for those of us who are interested in having our children learn and know about their language and their culture, it's up to us too in the immediate family to do something about it.
I would like to kind of clarify. I think I understood what Rosita said, and I don't think we're addressing it yet. I think Rosita said, correct me if I'm wrong, why are funds going into education here? Bilingual education isn't an education institution. You said, why are funds going into educational institutions if bilingual education doesn't totally depend on education?
I'm not saying that money shouldn't go into educational institutions for bilingual education, but I am saying
using the radio. We want to develop children's story hours. We've if we have funds for something outside of the school, something we'd like to do, is print books in quantity so that a parent can go to the store, buy an Eskimo picture book, Eskimo coloring books, Eskimo reading books on a top level for a little kid that they can take home and read them bedtime stories in their own home, or show them bedtime pictures of the Eskimo culture. There's all kinds of things that could be done not in the school if there were funds available. A survival school could be set up that isn't carried on in the school building. It's carried on out in the environment where they are taught, away from the school itself, but by the people themselves. There's lots of things that could be done if funds could be got from other organizations. So far, we haven't done any of those things, but that's some of the things that could be done.
I have a question for Dave. Are the natives doing this type of thing that you're talking about?
Thank you very much. Is there any other questions or any other kind of issues that the participants of this conference would like to bring up at this time, having to do with self-determination, which is the, all right, David, can you tell me where you are from, David?
How, what can we recommend to the parents that they in their own home can have a bi- bilingual home. What do they do? I talk English on Monday and Eskimo on Tuesday? Or do they talk English in the morning and Eskimo in the evening? Or can some linguistic people talk about that? I'd like to know, what can we recommend to the people that they can really have their students bilingual?
I was raised speaking Bucketown Athabascan until I went to school, and then I had to speak with the barrier that I should speak only English, and then I'm finally getting over that, and I think some people feel like this. I know the people back home do, you know, they feel that they should speak English, but this shouldn't be like that. You know, I speak to my two little girls, and they speak the language now, and I totally speak to them in my language, and my husband is a Seneca from New York, and, you know, they speak English to him because, you know, they know who to speak their native tongue to. I think the parent has a lot to do with it because, the people I talk to at home, they say, you know, why isn't my child talking to me?
To wind this up as our time is running out, but I feel that in closing that I would like to add from the comments that we have been giving that self-determination is change. In order to have self-determination and to bring out this change that you as Native people must have a part in your school boards, in your task forces, in your committees, in other words, you must be involved. You must make yourself familiar with what kind of legislations are being passed that will affect you and your children and the future of your children directly. And you must unite together so that you can back these favorable legislations. You also must be involved enough to draft those legislations because you've been talking about funding. Unless you are involved at this level, you don't get those funds. Today, the Department of Education has $586,000 for bilingual education. For 20 rural education affairs attendants, how far can any of you tell me? How far is $586,000 are going to stretch? And you are going to fight amongst yourselves for pennies. So self-determination means that you must be involved from the very top. Funding is crucial. In order to have some training, funding is crucial. So you have to be involved from the time they begin to divide up.